When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." Now he gets it. Friday morning, as Jesus is condemned, all of a sudden everything becomes clear. Now he suddenly realizes what he's done. Now he recognizes that he has betrayed innocent blood. I mean, don't you think that Judas kind of knew what he was doing long before that? Don't you think he had some kind of inkling of what was going on? I mean, Jesus had already told him, you know, if you look at the passion history, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he called out that he was betraying the Son of Man Thursday night. And it's Friday morning when he realizes that that's actually what he was doing. I mean, when Jesus calls him out, is it good for Judas to just say, "Oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm simply just procuring an object for an interested buyer." No, he knows what he's doing. He knew that he was selling Jesus, that he was betraying innocent blood. And if that wasn't enough on Gethsemane, Jesus had talked about it many times over the 3 years of ministry. How many times didn't he say that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinners and that he would die and then rise again? There's no way that Judas did not know what he was doing, and yet there he is Friday morning. "I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood," as he is seized with remorse. And it's exactly what Judas should have expected. Jesus made it perfectly clear what was going to happen. Even as they were sitting around the table on Thursday night, he said that one of you would betray me. Hello, Judas. But we know that Satan had entered him. He was going to do what he was going to do. Because you see, that was Judas's one thing. Do you know what that's like? When there is just that one thing that kind of gets control of you. And it could change. It could be all kinds of things. It could be different from day to day. It could be the same thing every day. But it's that one thing. Sometimes you're successful in saying no. Other times you're just told that in your mind and in your heart, you're like, "I cannot move on until I do this, or until I don't do that, or until I take this step." For Judas, it was those 30 pieces of silver. It was money. A sizable chunk. I mean, we know that Judas had already been, over the years, had been helping himself to what had been put in the coffers of the disciples, you know, from what they used to help the poor and needy. Judas would kind of slip some into his own pocket from time to time. But I mean, this was a sizable amount. It's what he wanted. And he went after it. We know what it's like, that one thing. We go after it. And we tell ourselves, we convince ourselves that it's good, that it's right. We might justify it in many and varied ways, but there is that one thing that gets a hold of us and it seizes us. And then in dawn's early light, so to speak, we see the truth. And like Judas, we're standing there with 30 pieces of silver in our hand, exactly what we wanted, exactly what we were going after, exactly what we hoped and knew would happen, and we realize that we've failed. We failed us, we failed our God. We've sinned. And we're seized with remorse. But at least we haven't betrayed innocent blood, right? Even there, whose blood have we sinned against, huh? When we sin against Jesus. We are seized with remorse when we realize that we have betrayed his innocent blood. Because finally, every sin, every offense against Jesus, every sin is committed against his innocent blood. That one thing is sin. And with it comes guilt. But don't let it consume you. Don't let it drive you to despair. Don't let it keep you from seeing Jesus. Don't let it haunt you, hound you, harry you. Put it at the foot of the cross. Because it was there that even though you and I have been consumed by sin, it is there that Jesus consumed your sin and mine. Jesus, the very one who was betrayed, took that betrayal and turned it into good. The Apostle Peter writes, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, and he did so to redeem you, to buy you back, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with his precious blood. That sin is washed away. That one thing that did us in is forgiven. That one thing that would keep us out of heaven is completely washed away. The guilt is lifted. The stain is removed. The dirt is cleansed in the blood of Christ. Now, there are going to be times when we still feel the weight of our sinfulness, when we realize and confess on a regular basis that we are poor, miserable sinners, and it is good for us to know that. It is good for us to remember how utterly and completely sinful we are. But it's not good for us to let that remorse linger, to let that guilt seize us and lead us to despair. It's good for us to see our sin so that we can see our need for a Savior. Because as he stands there as our Savior, he has seized you for his kingdom. He has made you forever part of his family. You who have been seized by sin and guilt have been seized by the redeeming grip of Christ, and he will never let you go. Amen.